It's the Walker Radio Show with Kevin Walker and Jason Collins. Get your sports reviews and previews with former Temple University wide receiver Kevin Walker and former Penn State defensive back Jason Collins. Also, up-to-the-minute scores, comments, and predictions, the Walkthrough Radio Show on Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network every Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time.
I ain't no joke. I used to let the mic smoke. Now I slam it when I'm done and make sure it's broke. When I'm gone, no one gets on, because I won't let nobody press up and mess up the scene I set.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is Sunday, 11 a.m., so that means you are tuning to the Walkthrough Radio Show with myself, Kevin Walker, alongside Mr. Jason Collins here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got another good lineup for you today. We're going to preview some games today as far as the NFL, talk a little bit about the playoff picture. Also going to talk about the college football games that took place on Friday and yesterday as well. And at the end of the show, we will give our top five all-time college football players. I don't think we're going to have overlap here because mine are kind of biased, Jay. So that being said, how you doing this morning, my brother?
I'm doing great, K-Walk. Looking forward to the show, man. I agree with you, K-Walk. I had a little bias in mind, too, man. And there's a lot of ways to look at it. So it's going to be interesting to see what you came up with, man.
Yeah, for sure. Likewise. Hey, let's dive right into it, man. First, I know we didn't get a chance to talk about it on our show, Jay. Just want to wish just give shout outs and thoughts and prayers to the John Madden family. We lost a great one there, Jay. I know you and I kind of talked about it on Wednesday before our listeners here. Great man. Outstanding guy, man. Just coaching, broadcasting. We all know about his Madden game. I mean, my kids are playing it to this day, and they've never seen or heard him, broadcast the game or see him coach or anything like that. But just to have them knowing that name, and it's when they hear Madden, they hear, they know it's that football game, and they're first in line to get it or download it now. I think you can download it now. I don't even know if you have to go to the store and buy it anymore, but a great man, tough loss. Also, Dan Reeves, well, Jay, he passed away as well.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, and I didn't realize, Jay, as a player and a coach, he went to nine Super Bowls. And
wow.
And that's only behind Bill Belichick, who went to 12, and Tom Brady, who went to 10. So, yeah, we lost some great ones there, Jay, man. But, hats off to those men, man. I remember Dan Reeves when he was in the Broncos. Also, him drafting Michael Vick when he was in Atlanta as well.
Yeah.
So we got some big time names there, man, that we're losing. But nevertheless, man, they left a legacy, man. And so hats off to them and thoughts and prayers to Reed's family as well. So with that being said, let's jump right into it, Jay. And I want to talk about a couple of games here that have a lot of playoff implications here. And I'm going to start with your Eagles, man. I got the Washington football team today. They're in the spot, man. All they have to do is just win out, and they're good to go. They have the Washington football team and Gibson. Young kid, the running back there for the Washington football team, is out due to COVID. He's on the COVID list, so he's out. Now, even with him, Jay, the Washington football team, especially last week, didn't look so well, man. And they were actually in a position where they could still make the playoffs. I mean, a lot of different things have to happen for them nonetheless, but they're still playing for something. What say you about your Eagles and how do you see them, performing today? And how much confidence do you have them in getting to the playoffs? And once they're in there, because I believe they will get in, once they're in there, how far do you think they can possibly go?
Yeah, man, I like where the Eagles are at right now. I mean, when you look at it, if they win out, they're going to get in. But even if they just win one game, I still think they have a good shot at getting in. You know, the interesting thing, though, as you said, is that Washington still has something to play for, which makes this game very interesting because Washington can be kind of Jekyll and Hyde. Like sometimes a tough, scrappy football team shows up, and then at other times we see that team that the Cowboys just wore out last week. So I still like what the Eagles are doing with their running game, playing solid defense, managing Jalen Hurts, you know, picking spots for where he can be successful. So, I mean, look, I like what the Eagles are doing. I think they win today. And the thing is, man, with these kind of games, like if you're the Eagles knowing everything that's on the line, if you go out there and lose that game today, then fine. You don't deserve to be in the playoffs. I think you got to go win this game. I think they will. And I think my Eagles are going to get in, man. A great run the second half of the season to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure, Jay, for sure. I mean, and Jalen Hurts is looking good. And a lot of people are still right now at a point where they're still questioning the future of him as a Philadelphia Eagle. I don't understand, you know, why they have to constantly ask, you know, is he the future? I mean, if he's now and he's getting him into the playoffs, Jay, then why wouldn't he be the future? You know, then that's on management, that's on ownership as far as bringing guys in there, you know, surround him with nothing but talent, man. Because the more talent you surround this young kid with or this young man with, I think the sky's the limit for him, man. He's not a Patrick Mahomes. He's still a young man. And in some terms, you know, in football terms, he's still wet behind the ears, still learning the game. But if you put some decent pieces, which they're starting to do, great tight end in Goddard and Devontae Smith there as well, really good offensive line, really solid running game. You know, you got Boston Scott there, you got Jordan Howard there as well, and then of course you got Jalen Hurts' legs, you know, as well. So I'm curious to see what they're going to look like next year, Jay. I think they can make some serious noise. I think they're going to make some serious noise this season, man, because they're a tough out, man. They really are a tough out. And Coach Sirianni, I think that he's, you know, it's Philly. When you listen to Eagles fans, Jay, you just don't know what you actually you get because they're so passionate, you know. They're so passionate. And you would look at them, you hear Philly fans, and you would think that they were just nowhere near the playoffs, you know, not even a chance to get in. But when they had that last spot. But I like this team, Jay. I'm scared of this team. My 49ers played them earlier. And that was no cakewalk by any stretch, and they had to pull that one out. I mean, that was a tough one, though, for sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I like Jalen Hurts. I like the Eagles, and I like what they're going to do. I think they will beat the Washington football team today and solidify their playoff spot in these playoffs, man. So,
And you make a good point about Jalen Hurts, man, because everybody wants like the Aaron Rodgers, the Tom Brady, the Patrick Mahomes. People don't realize, man, there's only a few of those guys on the planet walking around. Like you don't find that kind of talent just, you know, walking around or in the draft every single year. So if you've got a quarterback that can play winning football, which I feel like Jalen Hurts is starting to do.
Yeah.
Like you said, put some talent around him, build around him, give him the pieces that he needs, and I think you have a really good chance to be successful.
Yeah, for sure, Jay. I mean, for sure. I mean, look 2 years ago. You know, we're gonna talk about him in a moment. It's a good segue. But Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo was 6 minutes and 34 seconds away from winning a Super Bowl. And where do we put Jimmy Garoppolo at? You know, as far as you know, in the quarterback conversation, I guarantee you that, you know, and even me as a fan, I might even put him in my top three tier. You know, I just think he's a serviceable quarterback. Who works well with that particular offense? Don't go right there and you know be appreciative of what you have. Don't go out there looking for a Patrick Mahomes or an Aaron Rodgers, you know, a Tom Brady, like you stated, Jay. You know, there's only a handful of those guys, and not everyone's going to be able to get those guys. So just build around him, make him better. You know, you could make him better and by you know surrounding him with talent. I mean, Jalen Hurts. So good stuff there, Jay. So. Great transition, for sure. We're going to talk about my 49ers today, 49ers and the Texans. Right now, Jimmy Garoppolo looks like he's going to be out. They keep going back and forth and saying he's a game-time decision. With that thumb injury, UCL tear, and also a fracture there, they're saying he's going to have surgery in the offseason. Trey Lance right now is in position to start today, Jay. Give me your thoughts on, one, you know, for our listeners here, for you know, your thoughts on Jimmy Garoppolo, how you feel about him, and also Trey Lance. How much confidence do you have in Trey Lance getting the win today and if need be, get into the playoffs as well and lead this team?
Well, you know, K-Walk, it's funny because you may have just changed my mind about Jimmy G because we were talking about Jalen Hurts, and I'm thinking, you know what? Maybe I've been too hard on Jimmy G. You know, like I can't expect Jimmy G to be Aaron Rodgers. I can't expect him to be Tom Brady. But can he play winning football if you put the right guys around him? So if I use that same criteria for Jimmy G that I just said was fair for Jalen Hurts, you know what? You might be right, Walt. I think Jimmy G is a guy that could certainly lead his franchise. I mean, look, like you said, it hasn't been that long ago since he almost won a Super Bowl. So, I you know what? I feel a little bit better about Jimmy G now than I did 5 minutes ago. But no, man, the 49ers are in good shape, man. You know, I think they're going to get in for sure. I mean, I was reading something this morning that even if they lose both games, they would still have a chance to get in if some things fell their way. So I think the 49ers are in good shape. And this is the kind of team, man, that now that you're thinking about it, the 49ers will be the team that nobody wants to play. Like, I don't know how far they'll go. Yeah. But I guarantee you there's not going to be a lot of teams that want to play them just because of the talent that's on the roster. Now, look, as far as the young kid, I don't know how much confidence I have in him, man, because we haven't seen him a whole lot. And when we have seen him, you could see, like, the flashes of greatness and why they drafted him and why they want him. You see the talent, but then you also see the inexperience, the youth, the mistakes. Mm-hmm. So if he's going to be behind center, then I don't know how much confidence I would have in the 49ers. You changed my mind, man. I think Jimmy G is their best chance to make noise in the playoffs.
Yeah, Jay, man, and I just felt like I did him disservice last week or when we were talking and we had our good buddy Sherrod Jones. I felt like I didn't do him a good service as far as being his defensive representation last week. So I said, you know, the more I think about it, I said, let me come at a different angle, man. Let me do a little bit more homework. Let me make a better argument for Jimmy G. So that's why I wanted to lead off with Jalen Hurts and then use that same argument for Jimmy G, man. So, good stuff. Jay, I like Trey Lance, man. You know, the thing about it is you mentioned it, you know, you kind of alluded to it, like there's a small sample size there. Even in college, Jay, last season he only played one game, and that one game was just to showcase his talents, you know, see where he was at. Yeah. They scheduled that game for that particular reason. So, yeah, he doesn't have a lot of snaps under his belt, Jay. I get it. I just wish if Kyle Shanahan, and I say this every single day, if I say this one more time, I think my head's going to explode, man. It's if he calls the same offense that he calls for Jimmy G for Trey Lance, I think you can see some of the talent come out of Trey Lance. I just don't want to see those RPOs all the time, Jay. I just don't want to see, you know, him going and getting hit 10 to 15 times a game extra or more than he's going to get hit, because there are going to be times that he's going to use his legs. He likes to run. It's going to be times for him to, you know, take off. And when, you know, if a play breaks down, that's something Jimmy can't do. But don't put him in more of those situations where these guys are constantly teeing off on him, because that's what happened in the Seattle game when he started. And he wound up getting I think he had a knee sprain. He had an MCL sprain because he was just taking unnecessary hits, Jay. And I don't want Kyle Shanahan. I know it's a new toy. You know, you can't play with Jimmy G the same way you can play with Trey Lance. But, you know, be smart with playing with him so you can play with him for a longer time. Because there's a reason why You traded up to get him at number three, though. I like the 49ers today, Jay. I just think that, you know, Houston's a scary team. It's one of those they're Houston right now, especially the way they played it against the Chargers last week, man. It's one of those teams like you ever seen a trapped animal in the corner, or, you know, they're just going to fight, man. They're going to fight to survive. That's what I feel like Houston is. You know, they're playing for pride more than anything else. And sometimes that can be scary. And the 49ers are been consistently inconsistent. They're at home, so I like when they're at home, but I don't like when they're home at the same time because their record is not favorable there, Jay. But I think the 49ers squeak this one out. I don't think it's going to be an easy one by any stretch. Houston will come to play. And then the 49ers also need the Carolina Panthers to beat the Saints as well in order for them to clinch this week. And I think they want to clinch, you know, sooner than later. And then because they got the Rams next week, and the Rams are actually playing for the NFC West Championship. So you don't want to face that team, man, at that time. I mean, you got right now it's all playoffs football for the 49ers. Every week for quite some time has been a playoff game for the 49ers, you know, to keep their hopes alive to make a deep run. So good stuff there. Listen, what we're going to do here is we're going to grab our first break. When we come back, we're going to stay a little bit on the NFL talk as well. I want to go switch over to the AFC or also talk a little bit about the Packers as well. And with some good games between the Chiefs and the Bengals. But we'll definitely dive into that. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you are tuning to the Walkthrough Radio Show with myself, Kevin Walker, alongside Jason Collins, right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
Yo, what's up? This is Jaquan J. Kelly, a.k.a. Jamel I. Reef, Master Killer of Wu-Tang and American Saga. You're listening to The Walkthrough with Kevin Walker and Jason Collins. They're taking a quick break, and they'll be right back.
Your skin isn't just skin. It's a beautiful reflection of every single thing you've been through in life. Which is why Dove Body Wash renews your skin's ceramides and strengthens it against dryness. For instantly softer, smoother skin you can lovingly embrace. Renew the love for your skin with Dove Body Wash.
Does it appear the long arm of the law is working against you instead of for you? Whom do you call when the boys in blue are pursuing you? When the wrong person behind bars may end up being you? With over 40 years combined legal expertise, Anderson & Welch bring to bear a smart, sound, sensible defense of those caught in what may be the unrelenting grip of the legal system. Turn to Anderson & Welch first to get ahead of trouble, not fall into it, by calling 561-832-3386. That's 561-832-3386. That's Anderson & Welch Law Firm online at andersonandwelch.com.
And we are back. And again, you are tuning to the Walkthrough Radio Show with myself, Kevin Walker, alongside Mr. Jason Collins, right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Before the break, ladies and gentlemen, we were talking NFL playoffs. We were talking the Eagles, talking 49ers as well, Jimmy G, Jalen Hurts as well. So great stuff there, Jay. I want to stay on the NFL topic right here, Jay. And I want to talk about there was a big game here between the Chiefs and the Bengals as well. You know, Joe Burrow, I don't think he gets enough praise, Jay. I've been watching this kid, you know, this young man. I don't want to call him kid, but this young man, this young quarterback, he's coming off of that ACL injury from last year. And it seems like he just seems better, Jay, to me. You know, you don't see any lingering effects from that. And he's doing a great job of getting the ball. He spreads the ball around. I remember watching him, you know, a few weeks ago against the 49ers. And this kid is really good. This young man is really good, Jay. He really is. And this is not going to be an easy one, you know, for the Chiefs. The Bengals right now, they're in the playoff hunt. They're 9-6 right now. They're playing at home. Versus the Chiefs. Give me your thoughts on this game, Jay, and also Joe Burrow and your thoughts about him.
Yeah, no, I agree with you about Joe Burrow. I think a lot of people didn't know what to expect coming off the injury, you know, and this he's just been absolutely fantastic, and he's got some good weapons to throw the ball to as well.
Yes.
So, no, I think you're 100% right that this young man deserves a lot of credit for the way that he's played. And so early in his career, too, I mean,
yes.
If you think about it, you know, he lost a lot of time with the injury.
Yes.
I mean, so this kid is so early in his career and just looks like a seasoned veteran quarterback. So he deserves a lot of credit. And the Bengals, man, I mean, look, for all the jokes that we've heard over the years and years and years about
yeah.
the Bengals and
yeah.
what they can't do, I mean, they're sitting in a really good position. They still have a chance to win the AFC.
Yes.
If they win out and some things go their way, they still have a chance to get that bye. So this is a huge game. But for me, K-Walk, when I look at the Chiefs, and I know we talked about them earlier in the year and said, hey, maybe the league's catching up to them. Maybe they're starting to figure things out. I feel like the last couple weeks, the Chiefs have finally come up with their
yeah.
counterpunch. And it
mm-hmm.
feels like they're starting to get that mojo back. They're starting to have that feel again of an unstoppable offense. So
yeah.
if they can keep operating like that, look, they might find themselves sitting right back in the Super Bowl again. So I think it's going to be a great game today. But I like the Chiefs, man. I just think I think they're gamers. And when you have a big game, when all eyes are on you, I think that's when the Chiefs play their best ball. So I'm going to take the Chiefs in a really entertaining game, maybe the best game of the day, but I'm going to take the Chiefs.
Yeah, Jay, for sure, man. I'm going to jump right on board with you there because the Chiefs are playing for that number one spot, and that number one spot is on the line, especially when you've got a Tennessee Titan team right behind you. And you, like you stated as well, Cincinnati can jump up there and get that number one spot as well. So, you know, obviously the Chiefs control their own destiny, if that's even a thing, you know, if we can control our own destiny. But nonetheless, they win out, and, you know, they win these next two games. Then, you know, they have that number one seed and they have that bye. And your number one seed, man, it's you know, it's a lot more valuable now than it as it's ever been because there's only one team that's getting that bye as opposed to, you know, previous seasons to the top two teams in each conference got the bye. But I also liked what you said, Jay, as far as this team in the last few weeks, me and the Chiefs, have turned it on, man. And Andy Reid and these guys are starting to understand the importance of, you know, listen, right now is the time that we have to turn it on. You know, we can't be, you know, week one, week three, week five, whatever the case may be. We got a lot to play for if we want to get back to, you know, get back on top and try to make it three in a row, Jay. That's going to be scary if you see, you know, Patrick Mahomes and those guys in the Super Bowl for three straight seasons. Not sure if they will get there, Jay, but that's a discussion we'll have for another show. But I do like the Chiefs today, though. I do like the Chiefs today. Stated, you know, they, and like you stated, they have a lot to play for. They're clicking when they're supposed to. But it's not going to be an easy one. The Bengals aren't going to lay down for them or anyone else for that matter. And again, the Bengals are playing really, really good football right now. So definitely keep your eyes on that one, ladies and gentlemen, for sure. Let's jump back over to the NFC real quick, Jay. And I want to talk about two teams that really I don't know how to feel about them right now, Jay. And that's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Arizona Cardinals. I know the Arizona Cardinals today, they have the Cowboys. We'll talk about that in a second. But the Buccaneers, Jay, they just seem like – I don't know. I know they lost a lot of guys. They lost Fournette. They lost Mike Evans. Mike Evans is coming back, but in a limited role. Antonio Brown is back. I understand that. I get that. But this seems like they lost some pieces, and Tom Brady just doesn't seem like the same quarterback that he was in the beginning of the season, especially when he had those particular pieces, in the mix. But give me your thoughts on the Bucs, and how confident do you feel about them making another push to get to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, no, I agree with you, man. It's something just seems off with them. And
yeah.
And they're a beat-up football team. I mean, they've got guys that are injured and nicked up, and so they're definitely a beat-up football team, which I do think plays a factor in it. But even outside of that, something just feels off. And I can't necessarily put my finger on it, but I think if they can't get it fixed, whatever it is, I don't know how – serious, you know, because when you look at some of the teams in the NFC and the way that these teams can score points and the quarterback play of, like, say, a guy like Aaron Rodgers, look, it's going to be difficult for Tampa Bay unless they're firing on all cylinders. And right now, it just doesn't seem like it. And I think losing Godwin, that's a huge loss.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, a lot of people, you know, when you start naming the best receivers in the league, he might not be a guy that comes to mind right away. But just the consistency that he was bringing to that offense and just – you know, the great hands and just Mr. Reliable in terms of a guy that Brady knew he could go to. I think that's a big loss for them that's going to be difficult to overcome. So, look, they got Tom Brady. I'm certainly not going to sit here and count them out, but I think over the next 2 weeks they've got to find it again or they're not going to be back in the Super Bowl like a lot of people expected them to be.
Yeah, for sure, Jay. And what better time to find it right now than playing the Jets today, you know? So if you're going to find it, you know, that might be a great place to start, though, for sure. I'm definitely on board with you, Jay. I just don't know what it is with them. Even when they had all their pieces, maybe Antonio Brown was the only piece that they didn't really have. I'm not saying that they don't need him, but I don't think they really needed him. You know, especially when you have the Godwins and you have the Mike Evans in there and the Fournettes. But now you got to rely heavily on Antonio Brown. And hopefully, you know, he can keep his head in the game and be a big part of their next Super Bowl run if they're ready to make that run, can continue to make that run, I should say. The second team, Jay, is the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona Cardinals right now, as I stated earlier, they're in the with the Rams. They're fighting for the NFC West championship, so they got a lot to play for. But it looks like they don't want this, Jay. I mean, they lost four in a row right now, and they have the Cowboys right now, and the Cowboys have locked up the NFC East. We know that they locked up a playoff spot, obviously, by winning the East. But the Cowboys aren't going to lay down for anyone. The Cowboys, if any team has to play, has to get better each and every week. They're kind of like the Buccaneers. They have to find themselves. And I know they looked great last week against the Washington football team. But are we going to get that team? I mean, because we've seen the highs and we've seen the lows with the Cowboys. So I want to see where we're at today with them. But I'm focusing more on the Cardinals, though. The Cardinals, four losses in a row. They're without DeAndre Hopkins. No J.J. Watt. He's been out for a while. Kyler Murray just doesn't seem like he can get it right either, Jay. But give me your thoughts on the Cardinals. Are they just a team that peaked too early? What say you?
Okay, well, there was a time maybe 5-6 weeks ago when I thought the Cardinals were the best team in football, man. They were solid on both sides of the ball. Their offense looked phenomenal. They played hard on defense. I was like, this team is for real. But I think you make a good point. You lose four games in a row. I don't know, man. I just don't think good teams lose four games in a row. Like, it's the NFL. Everyone's going to have a spot where you lose a game or two. But four in a row, to me, that's a huge red flag. So, look, and then, like you said, they got the Cowboys today. Like, this is not the opponent that you want when you're struggling, because Dallas – if they come to play, they can absolutely overwhelm you with their offensive talent. So I think the Cardinals are in trouble, man. And not only that, but now Cliff Kingsbury is saying that he doesn't know if DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt will even be back for the playoffs. I mean, without those guys, I don't see them having a real chance to make any serious noise. So, I mean, you make a good point. Did they peak too early? Quite possibly. I mean, they peaked in the first quarter of the season, and they haven't been the same since, man. So, I mean, it was a nice run. I mean, the Cardinals certainly played some good football, but I don't know, man. I think this thing is going off the rails, and it's going to be hard to get it back on track.
Yeah, I agree with you there, man. It's tough to turn it on and off, especially in a league like this. And you mentioned it several times this season, Jay. There's so much parity in the league this year. And I can go for, you know, the pros, and I can go for college, which we're about to dive into in the next less than a minute. But, yeah, so you just, it's not a time for the Cardinals to go through what they're going through right now. And I think, believe you said it about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They have to find out what's wrong and get that thing straight, whatever it is, to use your term, you know. Nonetheless, man, it's going to be an interesting one. It's going to be a great game, some great games today, a lot of playoff implications, as I stated earlier, in today's game or in today's matchups. So definitely look into that. Listen, that's all the time that I have, ladies and gentlemen, for the NFL talk. What we're going to do here is we're going to grab a quick break. When we come back, we're going to turn it over to Mr. Jason Collins, and we're going to talk about some college football. Can't wait to dive into that. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned into the Walkthrough Radio Show with myself, Kevin Walker, alongside Jason Collins, right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
You're inside Never Had It So Good Sports Radio with Princess Cooper, Tim Moore, David the Duck Riley, Jason Collins, Shoshana Cook, Brittany Jones, Travis McGee, Eric Scott, and Kevin Walker. We make it easy to talk sports. Do you need tile installed in your home or business? Then John Robinson Tile, LLC, is the company for you. We have over 60 years of experience installing tile. We do bathrooms, kitchens, and so much more. Give us a call at 803-529-0092. Check out our website at www.johnrobinsontile2.com. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, too. Just search J. Rob Tile or John Robinson Tile. We're licensed and insured and Schluter certified. If you need tile installed, we are your company. We believe in laying hands on everything that we do. That's John Robinson Tile Installation Service for new and old homes. Renovation of kitchens and bathrooms, installs all types. That's John Robinson Tile, the number 2.com.
You can tell everybody, yeah, you can tell everybody, go ahead and tell everybody, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man, yes I am, yes I am, yes I am, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man, 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 man.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You're listening to The Walkthrough with Kevin Walker and Jason Collins right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. K-Walk's got us all set for today's game, so now we can talk a little bit about college football and what we saw take place over the last couple of days. K-Walk, let's start with the semifinal games, man. There was a lot of excitement, a lot of interest going into these games, just kind of wondering how these games would play out. Let's start with Alabama and Cincinnati. Bama wins again. As more things change, some things just stay the same, man.
Right.
And Nick Saban is going to another national championship game. But tell me, give me your thoughts on that game and just how you thought the game played out.
You know what, Jay? It played out exactly how I thought it would play out. I thought that the – you know what? Actually, it didn't, because I thought it would be, like, a lot closer in the beginning of the game. I thought, you know, it would be like a stalemate, you know, the first couple of drives. It's two heavyweight fighters just, you know, feeling one another out. But Alabama surprised me. They came out. They controlled that offense. I mean, that the line of scrimmage. They did a great job of running the ball. I think they threw the ball maybe like two or three times in that first drive, that first scoring drive, and they went high. They went up tempo on them as well, Jay. And they went up tempo, and they continued to run the ball. So that was surprising there. I kind of felt the outcome would be the outcome that it was, but not in a fashion that it happened. And Bryce Young. They didn't really rely on him too much. He made some passes that you expect him to do, but that the offensive line for Bama for the Tide really controlled that game, and I really didn't think it would be that much of a dominance as far as them controlling up front there. But hats off to Cincinnati. They played a lot stronger and they really looked good. But Alabama said, listen, you're no longer you're in a big time gym right now. We're gonna put a little bit more weight on the bar for you. So no more Tulsas, no more Toledos, no more Temples. You know what I mean? Hats off. But don't get me wrong. Hats off to Lou Fickell and what he's done with that team. They look really good, man. You kind of question. You're always going to do it because it's hindsight. Should Oklahoma State have been in there? Should Utah have been in there? Should Notre Dame have been in there? I mean, the list goes on and on. But, I know we'll dive into that a little bit later. But nonetheless, yeah, Alabama just, I hate to say it, Jay. They just keep on rolling, man. Just keep on rolling.
Yep. Yeah, no, man, I agree with you. And I thought, I thought Cincinnati represented themselves fairly well. I mean, because we've seen other teams in that game just get their doors absolutely blown off, but it was clear. It was clear from the first series that Alabama's offensive line was going to dominate the line of scrimmage. Cincinnati really had no answer for it. So to me, even though the score didn't necessarily get out of hand, I mean, I think it was 10-3 with 3 minutes left in the second half. Even though the score wasn't out of hand, Alabama controlled the game from start to finish. And there was never really a time in that game where it felt like Cincinnati had a real chance to win. So, look, man, that was a good win for Alabama because they showed they could do it in different ways. Last time we saw them, it was Bryce Young throwing it all over the field against Georgia. This time they went to the strong running game and just controlled the game from that standpoint. So showing that they can do it in a lot of different ways. Their defense was outstanding. So, Alabama looks to be poised to make another national championship into the trophy case, man. So it's going to be a great game against Georgia. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that one before they play. But man, you just got to give Alabama and Nick Saban a lot of credit just for the consistency and the way they do it year after year after year. I don't think a lot of people understand how hard that is to be that great all the time, and they make it look easy, man. So just a tremendous win, tremendous accomplishment for Alabama and that program. Let's talk about the other one, man. Michigan and Georgia. Look, I thought this was going to be a really close game, it did not turn out. I mean, this to me was an embarrassing performance for Michigan, as Georgia just absolutely blew their doors off. Give me your thoughts on that game.
Yeah, Jay. I mean, I feel the same way there. I mean, when we did our predictions last week and throughout the week leading up to the games, the one thing that I always pointed out was Stetson Bennett and how he would perform. He would be the difference maker in this game. I didn't think he would do it. He did it. He proved me wrong, and not the first time I've been proved wrong, and I'm pretty sure it won't be the last time. But nonetheless, they look really good, Jay. I mean, they had Michigan off balance. It just didn't seem like – it seemed like that Michigan was just prepared to do one thing or cover one thing. But, I know they had some trick plays there, Georgia, with that wide receiver pass, an end zone. That's a trick play. But it just seems like – it seemed like that Michigan was on their heels the entire game. And Stetson Bennett did exactly what he was supposed to do. I said he would be the difference in that game, and he was. He would be the difference in that game. But I just really thought that this game would have been a lot closer. I thought Michigan would have been out there, fighting for their lives, calling and scratching. It just seems to me, Jay, like they were just happy to be there. That's the kind of performance that I took out of that from Michigan. It seemed like they didn't want to be there. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on exactly what it is or what it was, but it just seems like Michigan was like, okay, hey, we're here. We're the number two seed. We deserve to be here. We're happy to be here. But Georgia said, oh, not so fast, my friends. Even though we're the number three seed, you know, we're still playing for something big time. But, yeah, hats off to Kirby Smart, Stetson Bennett as well, and that entire Bulldog team. They really came to play.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll tell you, K-Walk, one of the things that was evident right from the beginning of that game was that the size and speed of Georgia was going to be
yes.
a problem for Michigan.
Wow.
I mean, you
yes.
could tell right from the first series
yes.
that Michigan was going to have a very difficult time just keeping up with the speed of the Georgia athletes and the strength of that offensive and defensive line. So
mm-hmm.
it just looked different. I mean, it looked different. And a lot
yeah.
of people have been commenting to me saying, oh, Michigan's terrible. Michigan's just not a good team. I don't agree with that. I think Michigan had a great year. I think they're a really good
yeah.
team. But sometimes it's just about matchups. And when
yeah.
and when those two teams were paired together, the first thing I thought is, okay, this is not a good matchup for Michigan because
mm-hmm.
the things that they want to do offensively, it's just really hard to do it against Georgia. Like you're,
does,
I said it many times, you're not going to make a living running the ball against Georgia's front seven, and Michigan's
mm-hmm.
passing game just wasn't sophisticated enough to really take advantage of Georgia's
right.
secondary. But the difference in athletes was very obvious once
yeah.
that ball was kicked off. So, man, like you said, a lot of credit to Georgia. Great win. We're going to get to see the rematch that I think a lot of people wanted to see.
Yeah.
And as you pointed out as well, Stetson Bennett, man, for all the criticism that he's taken
mm-hmm.
After that SEC championship game, he performed very well. He performed
yes.
very well. But he's got to do it against Alabama.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
people know that Stetson can get it done against a lot of teams, but can he get it done against
yeah.
Alabama? And that's the question that remains to be seen. Caleb, let me ask you this, because this is something I was thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
The last couple times we saw Michigan before this game, they were dominating Ohio State. They blew Iowa out in the Big Ten championship, and then they come out here on the big stage and they lay an egg.
Uh-huh.
Do you think at all that the 3-week layoff hurt a team like Michigan? They had a ton of momentum, and then you don't play for 3.5 weeks. Do you think that hurt Michigan at all, or do
wow.
you think that Georgia was just that good?
You know what, Jay, that's a great question. And you know, I didn't think about that until you just posed it, obviously. So, you know what, yeah, the more I think about it right now, I think that could have hurt them, Jay, you know, because they were right. They were, like you stated, they, you know, they had a ton of momentum going into that game, you know, especially after you stated, you know, beating that Ohio State team the way that they beat them. And a lot of people thought Ohio State should have been in the top four, but yeah, that's a great point, Jay. I mean, yeah, that's a great question, and I think so. Yeah, I'm going to say, yeah, I think that had a lot to do with that. You know, they were riding a wave, but the wave, you know, kind of disintegrated on them, and then they just couldn't get back, you know, to playing that level ball, you know, from an emotional standpoint or a mental standpoint. You know, they were hungry, man, at that time. And I think had they played that following week, Jay, we might have seen a different outcome in that game. So, yeah, great question, great point. And I'm going to say, yeah, I think that layoff, you know, kind of played a big part. Not making excuses, and no excuses in the game of football, but I think that played a little bit of a big part into them losing and not being prepared.
Yeah, man. To me, I think that's like one of the things I like the least about college football. Like you have this great season. At the end of the year, you've got all these huge games. And then for 3.5 weeks, you just disappear.
Yeah.
And I think college football needs to figure out a way to fix that. And
yeah.
and I don't think it would have changed the game. Like, I'm not saying Michigan would have beat Georgia had they played the week
yeah.
after. I think Georgia showed that hands down they were the better football team. But I do
yeah.
think Michigan was playing with an awful lot of momentum at the end of the season, and then
yeah.
just to go dormant for 3.5 weeks, it certainly didn't help them. So I think that's something that college football has to figure out.
Yeah,
the other
point.
Thing, K-Walk, and, you know, we've talked about this a little bit before, these playoffs, man, it's very rare, especially in the semifinals, that we get good games, that we get competitive
mm-hmm.
games. There's so much excitement going into them, and then the games are kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
Is there any way to fix this, K-Walk? How can we fix the playoffs so that we get more competitive games? Do we need to invite more teams to the party?
Yeah.
Does the committee need to think about matchups when they're putting these games together? What can we do to make the playoffs, especially in the semifinal round, more interesting, more entertaining?
Yeah, Jay, I think you kind of touched on it a little bit, and I say expand it from 4 to 8 and keep it at 8. If you keep it at 8, I won't argue. You won't hear an argument from me. You know, you put them at 8, and then I think that you can see the top 8 teams. You know who the best 8 teams are in the country. Even this season, you throw those teams that I mentioned earlier, like the Ohio States, the Oklahoma States, the Utahs, the Baylors, you know, the list goes on and on. But as far as the top eight goes, now you bring that in, Jay, it'll be more competitive. And I think that also will shrink that time off that we just discussed, that time off. You know, don't let that time off be so big, you know. Don't expand that so much because, you know, a lot of these kids or not only these young men can – you know, get distracted, or the coaches can, you know, probably, you know, get because at the time, you know, you're dealing with a lot of stuff, Jay. You're dealing with, you know, playing for the national championship. Then you got the holidays there as well. You know, you got Christmas and New Year's that you have to focus on as well. And for a lot of people, you know, that can be a big distraction, man. It really could. But nonetheless, I think to answer your question, I think you just take it to 8. And cut down the time between games. Cut it in half, man. There's no need for a team to wait 3 weeks to, you know, you're going to go from your last game, then you're going to have to wait, 3 to 4 weeks to play in them semifinal. And then after that, it's another 2 weeks that you're off. So it's kind of like, you know, wow, that's just too much time. And you can't tell me that, you know, these kids are, you know, these young men, you know, it's about schooling. Because we know how that can go. It can be remote well, and the majority of the time they're on break anyway. You know what I mean? So you can't. I don't want to hear that aspect of it, even though I know it's an important aspect. But I think there's ways around that. And but for sure, Jay, expand it to 8 and cut that time in between down.
Yeah, you're right, because that takes care of both problems. We get more teams to the party, because I think if we can bring some more teams in, K-Walk, then we can really figure out who the best teams are. Sometimes when you invite 4, especially if you don't get the right 4 every single year, we end up getting these non-competitive games. But I think if you bring some more teams to the party, it gives us a little bit more of a true picture, because there's some good teams out there that not saying they were more deserving to be in, but I think they would have been better matchups for teams like Alabama, teams like Georgia, like Ohio State, even though Michigan blew their doors off. I think Ohio State would have been a better matchup against Georgia because their receivers would have been able to take advantage of Georgia's secondary. You look at a team like Baylor, fast, big, physical team. I think that's a better matchup. Even a team like Utah, when you look at some of the team speed that they had on display yesterday, maybe a better matchup. So I think inviting more teams to the party, we would get some better games, and then we could really see how some of these teams match up against each other. So I just hope college football fixes this sooner rather than later. I just don't want to go through another year of seeing these blah, blah semifinal matchups. Look, I think we're going to get a good championship game, so it works out in the end. But, man, I just want them to get that fixed, man. But speaking of Ohio State, let's talk about them yesterday, man, because even without their best receivers, they put on an absolute show in the Rose Bowl against Utah. What's his name? Njigba? I mean, he went for over 300 yards receiving. Marvin Harrison Jr. scored 3 touchdowns. Man, they got wideouts coming out of the woodwork there. But I mean, and Utah played a good game. I mean, Utah looked great, but just a really good win for the Buckeyes after a disappointing loss to Michigan. What'd you think of the Rose Bowl, K-Walk? That was one entertaining game.
Yeah, Jay, that was my favorite game of including the playoffs. That was my favorite game to watch this past weekend, man. I mean, that was absolutely, as you stated, it was entertaining, man. We had, and I'm a receiver, so you know I love to see the more points, the better for me. So yeah, that was a great game. And you know, I think Alove, he was out. I think another receiver was out as well. But like you said, they just continue to pump out receivers, man. It's like Iowa and their tight ends. It's like Penn State and linebackers. You know, it just they constantly yeah. pump out these guys, man. And it was great. I really thought Utah was going to run away with that game, and I just thought, you know, with those guys being out, and you know, it's just a blah blah game. Even though it's the Rose Bowl, I know that's big time. You played in it, obviously, but Ohio State didn't back down. They came out, and you know, they just you know, Coach O'Day said, "Hey, listen, we're here for a reason. Let's represent the Rose Bowl. We're Ohio State. Let's go out here." And then something clicked with them, Jay, and they took off. But very entertaining game. My favorite game to watch. Last weekend, for sure. And again, that does include the semifinals of the playoffs as well. So yeah, great stuff by Ohio State. I would have loved to see them play, you know, be in the top four, but you know, Michigan had other plans on that, but you know how that goes.
And I'll tell you, their quarterback too, CJ Stroud, man, he deserves a lot of credit too. I mean, this kid, I mean, I think he threw for over 500 yesterday, but just the poise, the accuracy, I mean, my goodness. I mean,
yes.
Buckeyes, I know things got disappointing for them this year, but they're going to be right back in it next year, man. When, the whole thing is, man, and that's kind of my issue with Penn State, like they just don't have a guy under center that can compete with the likes of a guy like a C.J. Stroud. Like, and when you have an elite quarterback, it just makes all the difference in the world. So I just think if you don't have an elite guy, it's tough to compete. I mean, we see what Bryce Young is doing at Alabama. So you got to get a guy under center that is a game changer in college football. But speaking of QBs, we saw Matt Corral. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. You know, he's going to be a high draft pick. He decided to play last night against Baylor.
Yeah.
Gets hurt in the first quarter. They're saying the x-rays are negative, which is great. But, I mean, this guy was, you know, could have broke his leg the way it got rolled up underneath. I mean, what are your thoughts, K-Walk, on guys sitting out? I know there's a lot of controversy about it. I've seen the people saying, oh, you're letting down your team. How can you let down your team at university? And then I've seen the other people like, hey, look, these guys, there's a big pile of money waiting on them, and who wants to jeopardize that, man? So where do you fall in terms of guys sitting out? And should Matt Corral or Matt Carroll, should he have sat out instead of playing last night?
You know, Jay, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. We know that. But, yeah, I mean, going into it, Jay, I'm a competitor, man, and I just can't see sitting out on a football team, especially if it's my last college football game. If you had to ask me, Jay, you are asking me, but I'm going to say, play. I know there's tons of money out there, man. There's tons of money out there waiting for you on that next level. But if you're serious about this game and you love this game, and I can kind of side with the people who say you're letting your team down. I can see that, but at the same time, you know, do you really want to do? If you go in to play this game, are you going to play 100%? Because half the time, if you go in there less than 100%, Jay, meaning you know the way you approach the game, you know, chances are you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt, and that's what happened. I'm not saying that Matt Corral went in there saying I'm gonna, half step this, if you will. But at the same time, you don't want to, you know, have that creep in your mind and you'll be on the field, you know, knowing that, you know, all these people are watching you, scouts are sitting there watching you. Is my draft value, is it going to go up? Is it going to go down? What should I do? If you're thinking about that, then don't even step on the field. If you're thinking about the next level, don't even bother stepping on the field for that last game. But if you truly love the game and you truly want to be, you know, part of it, if it's my last game, Jay, knowing it's my last game, I'm going to play personally. I'm going to play. I'm going to block all that out because all that's going to take care of itself in the long run anyway. So, yeah, I say play. If you got the opportunity to do it, play. I don't care where you're projected to go, one, or you could be number one pick or you could be Mr. Irrelevant. You know, you know you're going to get the opportunity, you know. So it's still going to be there for you. So, yeah, I say play, Jay.
Yeah, man. I don't disagree with you. I really think it comes down to a personal choice. And I do understand why guys want to sit out. Like if you're going to be, a first round draft pick, I get it. You don't want to go out there one more time and put yourself at risk. You don't want to get injured. It doesn't happen often, but we have seen some guys get hurt at times,
yeah.
And it has ended up hurting their draft stock. A guy's coming to mind a few years back, Michigan's tight end, Jake Butt. I mean, I think
yeah.
he tore his ACL in a bowl game that was kind of, you know, people a meaningless game, as people would say.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it ends up not having the NFL career that a lot of people thought he could. So it does
yeah.
happen, but
right. –
I agree with you, too, from a competitor standpoint. Like, mm-hmm. if there's a game, I'm going to be there. Like,
right.
I want to play,
right.
you know. So I can kind of see both sides of the coin. The one thing about it that I don't like is that I think some of these guys are getting bad advice, K-Walk. I mean,
yeah,
you've got
yeah.
some guys projected fourth and fifth round picks sitting out. Why?
Yeah, that's
get
ridiculous.
Out there
yeah.
and try to, you know, increase your draft stock. So I think some of these guys are getting bad advice by sitting out. But look, I get it if you're projected to be a high first round pick and you don't want to jeopardize yourself. But some of these guys that might not even get drafted and they're sitting out,
right.
which is a total head scratcher to me. Man.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
The way of the world, the way of the world right now.
Yeah,
but man, K-Walk, that time is flying by. We
right,
better get
right.
into this top five, man. Whew, this is a tough one, man, because there's a lot of different ways you can look at this. You can look at
mm-hmm.
numbers. You can look at Heismans. You can look at impact on team wins. There's so many things you can look at when you're trying to put together your top five college football players of all time. This might be one of the hardest lists we've ever done, K-Walk.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
said you had some bias in yours.
So I have a lot of bias in mine.
I can't wait to see what you came up with here, man. But give it to me, K-Walk. Give me your top five college football players of all time.
Yeah, without question, Jay. This is a tough one, man. But, yeah, I mean, last week I bigged up one guy, but I will talk about him later. But number five, I went with Charles Woodson, man. 1997 Heisman Trophy winners. Just to let you guys, let every other listeners know, all of my guys have won a Heisman. So I think I was kind of biased there. But, yeah, I like Charles Woodson. First – defensive guy to win the Heisman. I mean, we've seen what he did in his junior year. You know, he played offense, he played defense. I mean, some of those interceptions that he had was just unbelievable, man. And to do it as a two-way player, first two-way player that I've seen, you know, do it in the fashion that he did it. And by far, I thought he was the best football player in that season. And that was his junior year. He came out, you know, after his junior year. And he went on to have a heck of a career in the NFL. He was just recently, you know, inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame. So I gave it to Charles Woodson at number five. Number four, I went with my man. I love watching this guy, man. And it's still to this day, Jay, it still to this day baffles me that he was a backup. And I'm talking about Barry Sanders, and he was a backup to Thurman Thomas at Oklahoma State.
I know.
Man. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you just look at his numbers. I mean, he put up he has like, I don't know how many records, but he has 2,600 yards in a season, 44 rushing touchdowns in a season, Jay. Most games rushing for 300 yards or more. It's just ridiculous. I mean, he averaged rushing yards per game in a season, Jay. That's what he averaged in a season. 238 yards, Jay, in one season. So that's just ridiculous, man. That's absolutely ridiculous to rush
yeah, that's crazy.
And to have that video, right? Number three, I got I went with my man, and this has everything to do with football, guys. So and I went with Mr. Orenthal James Simpson, man. He I just thought that he was just a monster at USC, Jay. Another Heisman Trophy winner in 68. Some of our listeners may be too old to ever watch him. They probably know him more for his off the field things than anything. But he went on to have a great NFL career as well, Hall of Famer as well. So I went with O.J. Simpson. He was just outstanding, Jay, man. I love watching this guy play. If you watch his highlights, man, you know, just take all that other stuff that he had going on and just watch him as a football player. Outstanding. Number two, last week, if you guys listen, I said that this guy was probably the best college football player of all time. But I'm putting him in two. The more I thought about it, I realized that was more passion talking than anything. So I went with Tim Tebow, man. I went with Tim Tebow at number two, man. I just think that, you know, what he did, his Heisman Trophy winner in 2007, two-time national championship award winner there. I mean, he backed up Chris Leak his junior year or sophomore year, and he was just outstanding, man. Just the motivation that just the guy, the fire that he played with, the way he went about it. I just thought he was I never considered him a quarterback, just a true football player in my opinion. So I went with number two, Tim Tebow. Number one, bias, my favorite player of all time in college, and that's Desmond the Magic Man Howard. He won it in 1991, man. Jay, I tried to patent my game after, even when you and I were playing in high school. I don't know if you remember, I had the elbow pads on. I got that from the Magic Man. When I went to college in Lackawanna, I changed my number from 1 to 21 because of that man. And I just wanted to be everything that this dude was. I mean, he was this outstanding receiver, outstanding punt returner, kickoff returner. We all know him from the pose when he locked up the Heisman Trophy in 1991. So, again, I went with 5, Charles Woodson, 4, Barry Sanders, 3, Orenthal James, a.k.a. O.J. Simpson, number 2, Tim Tebow, and number 1, Desmond Howard.
Hey, I can't hate on it at all, man. All great players. 2 Michigan men on that list.
So that's
big time, man. No, that's a good list, K-Walk. We got a little bit of overlap, but not a ton, man. But this is tough, man, because there has been so many great players. Look, my number 5 pick, I guarantee you that there's probably not too many people that have this guy on their list. But I wanted to give a big man some love, K-Walk. So I went at number 5. I went Orlando Pace, the big, impressive offensive tackle from Ohio State, man.
Yeah.
You talk about dominating. I mean, this is a guy that just absolutely dominated on the Ohio State offensive line. Didn't give up sack. I mean, just pancaking people left and right. I wanted to give a big man some love because I really do think this guy was one of the best college players ever.
Okay,
but because of the nature of his position, he just doesn't get the recognition. At number 4, this is where we had some overlap. I went with the juice as well, O.J. Simpson. Like you said, man, when you look at his highlights and just the way that he ran the ball, just absolutely phenomenal. I think he had 3,400 yards in 2 seasons, finished 2nd in the Heisman in 1967. He won it in 1968. So I got the juice at number 4. At number 3, man, I looked at this guy's numbers and I said, look, it's hard to keep him off the list, and that's Ricky Williams, man. 6,279 yards rushing the ball at Texas. I mean, Ricky Williams was just absolutely unstoppable. Yeah. So I had Ricky Williams at number 3. At number 2, man, I went with Bo. Bo knows football, man. Bo Jackson, dominating player. This is a guy people did not want to tackle. The combination of size and speed that he possessed, just absolutely ridiculous. One of the best athletes I think we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Bo Jackson at number 2. At number 1, man, I had to go with Barry Sanders. Number 1, he was a guy, like you talked about Desmond. I always loved Barry, man. I wanted to be like Barry Sanders, man. And this guy, when you – 4 straight 300-yard games. You know how hard that is to go for 300 4 weeks in a row? Like, that's just crazy, man. And I think the guy rushed for 2,850 yards, I think, in 1 year. You mentioned, like, the 44 touchdowns. I mean, just absolutely ridiculous. To me, he's one of the only backs that I've seen that it didn't matter if the line opened up a hole or not. He was going to figure it out. So, to me, I had Barry Sanders as my number 1 player. So Orlando Pace, O.J. Simpson, Ricky Williams, Bo Jackson, and the great Barry Sanders. Those were my top 5. What you think, K-Walt?
Oh man, I love it, Jay. I love it, and I'm so mad at myself because I said I have to put Bo on here, man. Bo knows football, man. Bo knows sports. But yeah, that was a tough one for me, but Jay, I'm not mad at the list. I'm surprised at the Orlando. I didn't think about thinking outside the box like you did, Jay. As far as yeah. Orlando Pace, I didn't think about that, man. I always thought about the touchdowns and you know all that good stuff. But no, that's a great one, man. You got a lot of linemen out there listening that are tipping their hats off to you for sure, man. Great stuff. Yeah, I love it, Jay. I absolutely love it, man. Good.
Yeah, there's probably some people looking at us sideways. Neither one of us had a two-time Heisman Trophy winner,
Archie
Griffin, on the list. But man, I don't know. I don't know, man. Maybe it was the time that he played. I'm not sure. But for me, I just said, is this guy really one of the best five to ever do it? So for me, it was a no. But it'd be interesting to hear what people think about it, man. But now, great stuff, K-Walk. That was a fun one, man. Over to you to bring it on home.
Yes, sir. Great one as always. Another one in the books, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for tuning in each and every week and supporting us, man, because this show couldn't be what it is without you guys listening and tuning in and chiming in as well. First and foremost, I should have let off with this, but I hope everyone had a happy new year and happy new year to everyone. So apologize for not. Once we start talking sports, I get a little distracted, so I get a little passionate. Apologize for that. But nonetheless, we'll definitely we'll talk to you next week. God willing, of course. I always like to leave you guys with something. This week, I want to leave you with this. You don't have to find the happy life. You make it. Okay, so you don't find the happy life, you make it. So with that being said, for Jason Collins, I am Kevin Walker for the Walkthrough Radio Show here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Again, God willing, we'll talk to you next week.
Hey, where's the drum? You're never going out of style. Ooh, pretty baby, this world might have gone crazy. The way you save me, who can blame me when I just wanna make you smile? I wanna do you like Michael, I wanna kiss you like Prince, get it on like Barbie, yeah, like Hathaway. Write a song for you like this. You're over my head, I'm out of my mind.